What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Fear the Walking Dead and the Walking Dead World Beyond have just completed episodes of their respective shows. And yet, here we are, just getting started here on Fear the Walking Dead World Beyond Week 2. It is our current podcast in the zombie apocalypse as we're digging ourselves out of these Walking Dead trenches. I'm Josh Wigler. I'm joined here by my partner in crime on all things zombie apocalyptic, Jess Lease. Jess, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Josh. I'm ready to talk about the giant tire fire that is both of these shows.
Okay. All right. Well, so that's a perspective. That's a tease. It's a tease of how we're feeling. Of course, last week we were so lucky to have the very legendary, the prolific Chappelle on this show, and wow, am I just so thrilled to say that we got him again. He's here, he's back. Chappelle, is this like, so if we ask you on a podcast, you'll just say yes, even if it's Fear the Walking Dead World Beyond? Like, if we ask you every single time, are you gonna be here every week?
If I can make it through this, then yes, you can just count me in for everything.
Well, Josh, you are forgetting that this is the same man that we got to sit in on 12 hours of a 24-person Brant Steele simulation. I think Chappelle's standards are, you know, that's where they're at.
For those who do not know, Chappelle joined Mike Bloom and myself for a two-part Survivor simulation featuring the characters from Avengers Endgame, a Survivor simulation so epic that it needed to be broken up across two podcasts. Both of those podcasts are now available in the Pusher Recaps main feed as well as in the Everything is Super podcast feed. And yet, Chappelle, you still want to talk to me. I feel like...
Yeah. I was thinking we could break this podcast up into two parts. What do you think? you think we have enough to cover?
6 hours to get through week two of Fear and week three of World Beyond?
It depends on how intense Jess's rant is this time. But I think, honestly, I think we could push it. We could see what happens.
I think it's possible. I think it's possible that this will either be brief or this may be long. We don't know.
My money's on brief.
Where money is also
probably brief, yeah.
Mostly on brief. Of course, the three of us are in the Post-Show Recaps patron Discord, and you can talk to us there about your thoughts on not just Walking Dead, but literally anything. If you go to patreon.com/post-show-recaps, sign up for the patron program, join at the Discord level. Worth your while. Strange things are afoot in there. Lots of very funny conversation. And a decent amount of Walking Dead chatter going on. I've got some feedback to talk through. Jess, I know that you were talking a little bit about what's going on in the World Beyond with the great patron of Post-Show Recaps, Elizabeth Irwin, whose main take on World Beyond was acting. It's a major problem with a few on this cast. Also, Trey Emo was Elizabeth's headline on World Beyond. The two of you started talking about that a little bit. We can bring that in later if we want to incorporate some feedback. But if we're not cutting it here, or if you want to like swoop in and defend your Walking Dead shows, or join in on the tire fire, however the mood strikes you, whichever suit you want to put on. But I've got dibs on the brown suit. from Milton. you can come to the Patreon Discord. Check it out, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. We call this podcast Fear the Walking Dead World Beyond, which I think implies that we begin with Fear the Walking Dead, but I am open to shaking up that format if either of you feel like we should talk about one before the other. But I think that we should keep the conversations separate for those who are just watching Fear and those who are just watching World Beyond. Jess, do you have strong feelings on the matter?
Well, I have the World Beyond very fresh in my mind, so I feel like I'm coming in hot with this, and we should probably start there.
Chappelle, you good with that?
Yeah, let's jump into the Muppet Babies. Let's do it.
All right.
Muppet Babies.
All right. It's time to talk about the Endlings. We're beginning with World Beyond as we're dealing with the giant tire fire. What was this called again? What did they call it? The Blaze of Gory, Chappelle?
Blaze of Gory. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it sounded like an attractive place to go.
Yeah.
And now that they've gotten there, not so much. Not so much.
So in this episode of Fear of the Walking Dead World Beyond, the children, the little Endlings, those sweet little guys, those cute little cutie patooties, decide like, all right, well, our merry adventure must continue, and the only way to continue is to go through the Blaze of Gory, and I guess they don't really have a choice because Hope, who's Iris's sister, has decided, I'm just gonna go Leroy Jenkins on this situation and break off on my own. Did she just go in there? Damn it, Hope! So she's gone off on her own.
Hope is lost.
Hope is almost lost a couple of times in there. They go in to the Blaze of Gory, and shenanigans ensue. Jess, the floor, the burning inferno of a floor is yours. Let us know how you felt about our sweet, sweet little children. Those tiny little tykes, these cuties who are surviving in the zombie apocalypse. How did they do this week?
Is the floor mine, Josh, or do you want to take another 5 minutes to talk about how cute they are?
They're just like a little sweet little cherubs.
Just want to crush their heads.
Silas has been through a lot, and I just want to give him a hug and like, you know, with a blanket and be like, come on, Silas, we got this. Everything's going to be good, Silas. And Elton, I'm glad you got the manuscript. I'm looking forward to reading your ending to the book. I can't wait to see, because he's got the book that his mom wrote, and somehow that's going to reveal that Hope killed his mom. That's going to connect.
The last chapter is, and then a child shot me while I was pregnant. Yeah, the end.
The last thing she did. And all these cute little, look at these little, yeah, I do want to talk about it for another few minutes, I guess. So you're going to have to stop me.
I'll stop you. Josh, these kids are getting a little less cute as the show goes on.
What are you talking about?
Listen, who hasn't murdered someone? So on the next episode, we're probably going to find out like Elton strangled somebody with that coat.
Murder babies.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, they were cute at first, but now every time someone does a flashback, we find out that someone has a aggressive past. And so this time we got to look into Silas.
Silas, who, what'd you do? Silas, what did you do?
Who did you do that to? Did we have confirmation? Like, who did he beat the crap out of someone? But, you know,
just they're cute. Read on the Silas situation.
Well, I think this is actually a perfect opportunity to talk about the fact that every single show since Lost has ripped off this Lost style storytelling where we have two stories in tandem, and one is what's happening in the present day, and one is what did one character do in the past that may or may not be tangentially related to what is going on in the present day. And I think almost every show since Lost has done this badly, and I think we only tolerated it in Lost because it was the first time we'd ever seen it. And now that it is what every drama does, I'm less happy about it. I think there are better ways to introduce this information. And I don't know that I really care yet. I don't know Silas well enough. He's just a dude that's got some headphones. And I really don't. This isn't the time to be talking about that, because I feel like they're in the middle of a giant tire fire and I'd like to see them get out of that first. However,
yeah,
There is no suspense with the tire fire either, because we know they're getting out of it. They didn't call the show Walking Dead Tire Fire. And we also know that nobody's going to die in episode 3 of season 1. And they like to tease that they will kill anybody at any time. They're not going to.
I kind of thought maybe because there's the part where like the tires collapsed and Silas was like doing the hold the door thing. He's like, go, I got this. And I thought that he was gonna succumb there, and that's how they were gonna do it, and they wouldn't show us because they're not gonna show us. They'll never show us like Silas or little Elton getting eviscerated by. There's just no way. There's no way this show is ever gonna do that.
I don't know. Really? They did that to Noah.
Right. I was like, what about Noah?
Yeah, but these are like 10-year-old kids. You know, they're like
Carl got shot in the face.
He did get shot in the face, but at that point, Chandler Riggs was like 27. You know,
so, I mean, but Carl was 13.
Yeah, but the actor had shot up like a beanstalk.
Wasn't that the exact same episode where Sam and his family got eviscerated, and we saw that happen?
But don't they just like get And I also think that on the main Walking Dead, like you're more ingrained for that kind of thing. Here in World Beyond, like the tone that has been set, I feel like has been very. Murder babies, right? But emphasis on the babies, that this is like, this is a PG-13 Walking Dead.
Yeah, so doesn't that also sap some of the tension out of it, Josh? So we know that nobody's going to get violently eviscerated.
We suspect.
A la the season 10 finale that we just talked about. Like, there's not going to be any crunchy death sounds, Josh.
We don't think so. I mean, like, adults, that could happen to poor Felix. It could happen to Huck. That's certainly possible.
I hope it happens to Huck. Yeah. I want her to turn heel so bad so I can hate her fully, because right now I'm like, I don't really care for you, but you're still a part of the group. But like, if she just like does completely left, then I'm like, all right, good, we can hate her, she can die. But yeah, I guess.
Oh my god, I just got eaten by a zombie because I'm Huck.
Julia Ormond, bad things could happen to Julia Ormond, but I don't know. The show hasn't done anything really aggressive toward a human character yet, 3 episodes deep, and it's just 3 episodes deep, but it does make me wonder, like, is this show going to, like, not that people can't die, not that like Silas can't die eventually or Elton can't die eventually, but I did think to this point that I thought that Silas was going to die in like the tire collapsing, and like we wouldn't see it very graphically, that it would just like, yeah, like he's clearly gone now.
Yeah, like the tires fall and everybody's like,
like that's how I suspect we will lose some of these children eventually.
Yeah, that's fair, Josh, because we have seen people die on this show already, albeit not in the present day. And we did see like 20,000 people get murdered off camera. Right. It was a thing that happened.
Right, right. But yeah, is it time for us to see like Silas's troubled backstory? Is this going to be sort of that Lost format, Chappelle, where like every week we're going to get a backstory on a different character? Last week it was Felix, this week it's Silas. Is next week going to be the Huck backstory?
I want to hear about Elton. I came here for the Elton story, and that's what I'm staying for.
Yeah.
I think.
Are you here on the podcast every week until we get the Elton backstory?
And then I'm out. And then I'm 100% out.
I want the origin story of Elton's suit. I'm not here for the Elton origin story. I just want the origin story of the suit.
I hope you know that when we get that, we will absolutely get the origin story of the suit. Like,
the
moment where he finds the suit, he's like, oh, yeah, this is me.
No, we're going to get the cold open, like in the suit factory, pre-zombie apocalypse, like somebody choosing the corduroy, and we watch the machines make the suit, and then the suit gets hung up, and it's going to be a Red Machete miniseries of who owned the suit before Elton found it.
Yeah, corduroy.
I'm all in. This is what I want to hear. I'd rather hear about this than Silas, honestly, but just said it correctly. We don't know him. And so this backstory was kind of like, oh, that looks like something that happened. You know, and then it led to almost nothing. They want to make him a pack mule. I thought that was pretty interesting. They're like, you called him Hodor a second ago. And I mean, just kind of what he was doing. He's like, I'll hold the bags. You guys go risk your lives. I'll just stand back here. And he has like adult strength. You know, we've seen him a couple times now do some crazy, you know, physical things. He doesn't want to fight. So for me, I don't really need Silas on my screen yet until he comes into his own. Yeah.
He's the reluctant warrior. Let's get rid of the reluctance. It's the zombie apocalypse. But, you know, things may change over the course of this cross-country road trip that they're on.
It's a silliness. And I'm hoping that since Felix is with them now, he will teach them how to fight.
Yeah.
Because I'm worried about each of them every time. You know, like in the regular Walking Dead, I'm assuming certain people can handle themselves, you know. But this now I'm like, somebody step up and do something, you know, give them some nunchucking skills. What are we missing out here?
Hacking skills.
Yeah. Can we have something?
So, yeah.
I don't know how I felt about this episode. Well, I do know how I felt, but I'm going to be more positive and say it was an interesting episode. And I think what you guys are saying is true. We probably won't lose anybody in a gory fashion. Not any humans, at least. You know, because at the end, that final scene where, you know, Colonel Governess, whoever her name
is. Colonel Governess.
The governess. she could have killed that guy. You know, hey, you guys, we shouldn't have done this guy. And I was waiting on it. She grabbed the gun. The people with the guns came in. I was like, oh, yeah, he's a goner. And they're like, we'll just banish you.
Soup, Chappelle. I was like, oh, that soup is going to be bad news.
Right. I thought he was poisoned. And they're just like, no, we'll just banish you until you're ready to fight again. I said, oh, that was really nice. Oh, my God. And totally out of character. Character for this show, or at least the Walking Dead franchise in general. Yeah. So it looks like that's the route we're going.
Like they just like massacred so many people in this community, but this one guy who is expressing doubt about everything, like, and they have 200,000 people. They said, Jess, like, he can't go down to 19999 or whatever. Like,
yeah, well, they've got a big enough population that they can sustain a gulag, so that's what they're gonna take him for now. But I have so many questions about this guy and this solution and. This scene, I think I have more questions about that than I do about the zombie babies. Like, I get it. They're on a quest. They're doing Stand By Me, the home game.
Yeah.
They got Felix now, so they're probably not going to get eaten anytime soon. But
frankly, not a lot happened, right? Like, they made it through the Blaze of Gory.
They needed to make a noise to get out of the Blaze of Gory, and they made a noise to get out of the Blaze of Gory, and that's pretty much everything that happened. Yeah.
And now they're teamed up with Felix and Huck, and so the quartet has added two more.
Yep, they are now a sextet.
Yes.
Yes. So that's pretty much it. But okay, we need to go back to this. So if you are that guy.
Yes.
And you just watched 20,000 people get massacred and you are upset about this and you know the person that issued the directive, why are you just knocking on her door during office hours to express a mild concern in her home? Why aren't you like seeing if anybody else feels this way first? Like I feel like watching somebody murder thousands of people is really like mountain insurrection time. This is not, hey, I just had a question about the murder.
Did you say mountain insurrection time? Like that's the time zone?
They're on MIT. That's mountain insurrection time.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like leadership commits genocide. I feel like maybe a strongly worded confrontation is not your tactic. Like either keep your mouth shut until you figure out what you're going to do. Or start figuring out how to foment rebellion here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have a good point. I mean, what's the chain of command? Like, at what point am I not okay with the CEO? So rather than talk to my manager or my peers and say, hey, are we okay with this? I go straight and knock on her door and just like, hey, remember that time you murdered all those people? I didn't really like that.
I didn't feel good about it.
I didn't feel great about that. Could you make me feel great on like a micro level? Because I know macro level, you got this thing. But like, have you thought about the people? And she's like, you know what? I think you're right. I think I haven't really thought about people. Like, what did you expect from that?
I've had a nice can of Campbell's soup on the stove.
Right. Have a seat. Have a seat. Yeah. They didn't take all the Chef Boyardee. Have a seat.
You want some chicken noodle? I got that. Here.
Yeah. It was a horrible plan.
For such an egregious choice of like, I'm feeling bad about this. I'm coming to the tippity top of the ladder before like feeling out anyone else. This guy, very lucky.
It could just be a him thing, too. Like, maybe everybody else is cool with it.
Oh, I guess that's possible. So did he, like, go to all the other soldiers, like,
dude,
yeah, no, that actually, to be completely honest, and I don't care if this makes me sound like a bad person, but it felt great. It felt great to do all of
it. It's in the handbook. It's in the code of conduct. Yeah, we followed it to a T.
We did our job. Like, good job, well done. And then that one guy is now he's on an island. So maybe he has nowhere else to turn. But at that point, if no one... Yeah, like, they're all feeling good, then you really probably... you don't have much of a shot at the job.
It could just be his problem.
Right. And what outcome did he expect? Like, was she going to say, oh, you know what? Let's just bring him back to life. You're right. We did. Yeah. We screwed up, but we can backtrack. We can still save this. No, no, sir. They're dead. What do you think this woman is going to say to you? What do you want from her in this moment? Do you want a pat on the back? Do you want some more soup? Sir, this was a bad idea. You're lucky you walked away alive.
Yeah.
He wants an apology.
Very lucky.
Right.
Alive.
Yeah, that was my bad. I shouldn't have murdered all those people. You're right. I'm sorry.
Put it that
won't happen
way,
again. Yeah.
I mean,
I get it now.
I think like one of the things that scene accomplishes, if it's accomplishing a thing, is that it shows us that like her hands are shaking, like she clearly is feeling like stressed.
So she is sorry.
I don't know if she's sorry, but she's feeling stressed.
She didn't love it. She didn't love it.
I don't know that she loved it. I don't know if she loved that. I don't know if she loved like having to like feed this guy the soup, or if she didn't love like having to throw him in the gulag or whatever, but she's stressed.
She loves wasting electricity. That's what she loves.
The governor's just like flip it. Like what a flex. Like,
that is a flex.
Let me turn on the stove. Let me turn on the TV. Let me turn on the AC. Let me turn on this.
Listen, player, we got Wi-Fi, right?
What's the password again?
Right, we have Wi-Fi. Yeah. Don't come in here talking to me about lost lives.
Governess with a capital G, a zero for the O, and two fives with the S's on it.
And then it's governess rules, R-U-L-Z.
Crazy. So she doesn't feel great. We're getting these interstitials, Chappelle, with the governess. And she's still just like chilling back at home. So how is this going to collide with the main plot? Is it as simple as, well, governess has a helicopter, so whenever she needs to get to New York, she just gets to fly there?
I mean, if you ask her, it's probably that simple, right? Because she just did the ultimate flex. Like, let me turn the ceiling fan on you. She said, oh, you thought you got away? It's okay. We have gasoline and we have a helicopter. We also have a jet and we have a watchtower in the middle of, the country. So we'll see you eventually. So just run along.
Hot tub. Yeah.
Right.
I can watch Mr. Wizard whenever I want.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, I think, I don't know how it's going to collide. It just has to be some intel, right? Like, they're going to trip something or destroy something that they shouldn't have destroyed, and then it's going to get back to her like, oh, that one thing that we were keeping as a contingency is gone. Now we have to go find these usurpers and send them to the gulag. Like, is that what she's, I guess? But she kind of sent them on their way anyway. Like, she gave them the map, so you have to believe that she kind of wants them to go that way.
She sent them on a snipe hunt, I think.
Right. So maybe she's going to pop up in New York.
I have basically no idea what it is the governess wants. Sometimes she wants the people to go to New York and find the guy, and then other times she wants to kill everybody and steal their electricity. Like, what does she want? Did she really just want, like, the cool house? I feel like that's probably a better way to get it.
Is she upset because, like, is her, like, shaking hands and, like, teary eyes, is this an expression of remorse for telling the people to go find the thing? Like, is she just upset, like, oh, man, I really effed that one up. Now I had to murder 20,000 people. I really shouldn't have told them, shouldn't have gotten drunk and told them where to find their dad.
Yeah, that may have been a mistake.
I really biffed that one.
Some feedback on The Walking Dead World Beyond this week from Andrew Yu, who says, wasn't too thrilled with the first two episodes. 20 minutes into episode 3, I give up. Just out there to waste time on this one. Maybe I'll check back in if they ever meet up with the helicopter people. So
World Andrew
Beyond has lost Andrew Yu.
Wow, Andrew, how dare you? You're not going to give us 5 episodes. You could. I mean, what else are you doing? Come on.
Andrew's listening to the podcast.
He's just not going to watch.
All right. I was like, I'm hanging out, Andrew. Come hang out with you.
Hang out. This is why we're doing it.
We got a lot of those, actually. They don't watch the show. They just want to know what we thought of the show.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like they like to watch people suffer.
Elizabeth Irwin also not impressed, as I mentioned before, and in the Discord said, I'm really disappointed in the casting of The Few. The acting, it's so clearly poor. I swear at one point, one of the actors just stared right at the camera. If they didn't have time to do reshoots, they should have shelved the show. Her point is, I can't believe this made it past all of like the levels of security it needed to go past to be aired. It's so far below the standard of what we've become accustomed to. So harsh feedback for The Walking Dead World Beyond from the listeners of Fear of the Walking Dead World Beyond this week.
I have a positive.
Yeah.
It was really cool seeing them wearing masks. It actually made the world made sense.
Yep.
So they were wearing their mask in the tire fire, and it felt normal. I was like, wow, look at where we are. Yeah, look at where we are.
Yeah.
I watch TV shows now, and I'm like, these people don't have a mask. Yes. Aren't you sitting close to that guy?
Oh, like, yeah. And I have like the recurring nightmares, too, now, where like I'm hanging out with a bunch of people, then deep into it, I'm like, I'm not wearing my mask.
Mm-hmm.
None of us are wearing the mask.
Right. So halfway through the episode, I saw everyone was wearing a mask, and I just kind of, I breathed a sigh of relief, you know? Yeah. I was like, look at that. Look at normal. Look at life. Yeah,
that looks cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
In our own blaze of glory.
All right. So the crew's together, Huck and Nina are like, all right, it makes a lot of sense that these kids want to keep going. And we are definitely not closer to New York than we are to back home, but we'll still keep going to New York.
Yeah. We're 5 miles out of Omaha. I think it makes sense to keep going the other 2,000.
It makes sense if they knew that Omaha was trash now. But,
yeah, you're grown. How dare you let these kids like convince you to walk to New York? A kid would have a difficult time getting me to walk to the grocery store right now. Yeah. Can you walk to New York? Okay. Thanks, Felix. You're a lot of help.
Are they going to find some other transportation at some point? Like, are they going to try to ride bikes or
a car?
I don't know. Well, it's 10 years in. I think we kind of established that you don't really have that option anymore. But it seems like you could find something to get you there that doesn't require you to walk the entire way.
All right. So here's what I'm going to do. From Omaha to Buffalo. It's called Buffalo. How far is that on foot? How long would that take? Take you 318 hours to do that on foot.
Debatable.
You know, so like that's, you know, uninterrupted, I think, too. So no sleeping. There's no sleeping at all. You're just trekking. You're hoofing it for 318 hours. How long is 300? How many? 318 hours in days. That's as they like to say, Jess, it's a fortnight. It would take a fortnight of consecutive walking. Just about 13.25 days, 13 days and a quarter of a day. Non-stop walking.
I think we have to assume that they're going to take breaks. So it's going to take them
breaks.
It's going to take them about a month. Yeah,
zombie breaks as well.
Zombie breaks and obstacles. Yep. Who knows what other blazes of gory exist out there? Because their path, if they're walking a straight line, essentially they're going to go through Chicago. They go through Des Moines.
You probably want to walk around those. I would avoid the cities.
You know, you got to go. You're going near Cleveland.
Nobody wants to go to Cleveland.
I'd avoid Cleveland now.
You know, if they're on their way to Cleveland, I believe that may be the location of a different community in the world of The Walking Dead. So maybe they'll be maybe they're not going to make it to New York so easily after all, unless Julia Ormond catches them in Chicago on her helicopter and takes them the rest of the way.
I would steer clear of the entire state of Virginia because not only
we're not talking about Virginia.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, you get through, you might run into the people from Alexandria and they'd probably just have their kill switches on.
Oh, yeah.
And if not, like, what if there are, like, extra whisperers out there? Like, the entire state of Virginia, just assume it is a tire fire and go around.
Yeah, it's starting to bother me more and more that they just embarked on this like Pokemon journey of like walking out into the wilderness with nothing but like with nothing but Silas for protection. I don't really love it. I don't
know
where they
brought necessary things. They brought a bowling ball. They brought a manuscript.
Chef Boyardee. Yeah. And I saw they tore through that Chef Boyardee. Oh, no.
I know my destiny. Is Big Mo a Pokemon?
Yes.
Is that his final form or
he's like in coughing mode. He hasn't activated wheezing yet.
Oh, that's when he's two Big Mo's combined into one. And Big Mo made an appearance. I didn't think we were going to see Big Mo in this
Big
episode, but there was like
a
little flashback for Big Mo. I'm very excited. I'm tracking Big Mo.
Big Mo but dies that was just before a flashback. Any of the kids die. Big Mo dies before any of the kids.
That was just a flashback, though. Do we know they still have Big Mo?
No, we don't know it. You're right about that. We assume. I mean, what can't Silas carry at this point? You know? I really just don't like that they like strapping stuff onto him like he's a mule. That's going to...
He's the Hulk. He's the Hulk crew.
He's Hodor. He's Hulk. He's Hagrid.
Hank.
He's everything but a fighter. We need you to be a fighter right now. Like, we need that today.
he's the tank.
But they do need a Sherpa.
They do.
And I assume that when he said, I'm coming with you, they weren't like, no, man, we barely know you. We've exchanged like 10 words. Why would we bring you with us? Oh, wait, you're kind of big. Can you carry my backpack? Okay, cool.
Cool. Good. As long he can drape a blanket over you like he did in the last scene. What was that about? Is it cold?
It's just like a...
It's a comfort blanket.
Yeah, it's like, you need some of my comfort blanket here.
You want my blankie?
Yeah.
I don't... See? Blanket. That's what we do, dealing with these children. I can't do it.
Is that blanket the blanket from Brave Little Toaster?
Oh, my gosh.
Blankie!
Yeah, maybe.
God, do not traumatize me with that movie, Josh.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to have nightmares tonight about the vacuum choking on his cord.
Oh, yeah, that's not good. Or the air conditioning. What if that air conditioning was the one that the governess was turning on?
It could be like, what if like the next season of Fear the Walking Dead?
God, governess!
Next season of World Beyond is definitely like all of her electric appliances going out to find her.
It's only a nightmare if they're not wearing their masks. Yeah.
The Brave Little Toaster. Anything else from Walking Dead, World Beyond, or The Brave Little Toaster that you'd like to get into before we move on to Fear of the Walking Dead?
I enjoyed Julia Ormond's vintage World War II posters.
Mm-hmm.
The propaganda. It's very cool.
Yeah.
I thought Hope is an idiot for throwing away a perfectly good Zippo that she's been carrying around for a decade.
Yep.
That was dumb. It's weird that Elton has never heard the phrase haul ass.
Yep.
Well, for Elton, is it weird?
I mean, they never might had not run, be. Right? They've never not had run Elton. Before. Yeah. Or when like he was out in the world and now he's been safe inside his inside the walls of Omaha and also inside the fabric of his corduroy suit for
using a dinosaur horn to kill people.
I love Elton. Elton's my current favorite character in the Walking Dead universe.
He's gonna make the best action figure.
Yes, for sure. All right. Let's talk about Fear the Walking Dead. Week two of Fear of the Walking Dead.
Yeah, week two-y.
Week two-y of Fear of the Walking Dead. A little bit of Morgan. A little bit of Morgan. A little bit of Morgan in this episode.
Morgan number five.
This is at least Morgan number five.
It's like Morgan number 25 at this point.
At least Morgan number five that we're dealing with right now. Tiny bit of Morgan, but a lot of Lenny James, because I believe Lenny James directed this episode of Fear of the Walking Dead. I think directorial debut for Lenny James, if I'm not mistaken. I may be mistaken. But it is effectively a Strand and Alicia check-in episode. What's going on with them now that they are under the thumb of Virginia and they meet new friends? Dakota. What's up, Dakota? Is that her name, Dakota? Am I getting it right?
Dakota.
Yeah, that's Dak. I like it. Yeah.
She's just like mini Virginia. Dak, she's even got the same hair, the same bangs.
Yeah, right. You took one look and you're like, oh, Virginia's sister.
Right. I was like, her daughter? I just knew, like, those people are related. Those two people are.
She doesn't look like she's old enough to have a daughter that age, but it is the apocalypse. Strange things happen.
Yeah. So, Virginia, Dakota, who else is in their family, do we think? Have we met Connecticut yet?
Oh, no. Oh, that is a good point. Oh, my gosh.
So I think Carolina is probably.
Carolina. We're going to Carolina, in my mind, at least.
Yeah.
Carolina.
Jenny and Dak and Lina. Okay, yeah, I like Lina. I like these people.
Who else do we got? Let's look at the
Florida.
Nah, Georgia is easy. Georgia. So we'll meet the full family at some point, I assume.
Yeah. I assume their housekeeper's named Florida.
Oh, no. Who knows who else is out there in the Virginia family, but we meet Virginia's sister this week. We meet Strand and Alicia again, and they're shoveling shit. They're on latrine duty. They're on duty, and they are in huge trouble, huge duty when they cross one of these rangers who really doesn't like Strand at all. And Virginia has decided, like, Strand, giving you one last shot, man. One last shot to show me that you got what it takes to be part of the crew. And we're going to send you to resolve this impossible task at this camp where there's all of these walkers behind a garage door. And the last time we opened the garage door, I got to tell you, Strand, it went badly. If you watched the first 5 minutes of this episode, you'd know. because the first 5 minutes of the episode are like, all right, open the door and everybody be cool. And this wannabe Jim Beaver character who's got the gun, he's like, all right, you got to do the thing. And then who's the guy who survives this but doesn't survive later?
That's Sanjay.
Sanjay, my yeah.
Sanjay, yes.
Highly relatable content when Sanjay's like, I don't want anything to do with this.
It was the rise and fall of Sanjay for sure. The first scene, I'm like, yes, Sanjay, protect yourself. Live. No, you have to live to fight another day. By the end of the episode, I was like, could somebody kill Sanjay? Because he's getting on my nerves. Like, he can go. He can, I did not feel bad for him at all. I was like, Sanjay, you've done nothing at all.
They open the garage door and it goes poorly. And like everyone's just getting like sucked underneath the garage door, including wannabe Jim Beaver, who like is acting all tough. And then like suddenly he gets sucked under, too. So it's like, all right, so this is going to be a problem. How are we going to clear this out? And much like how you could yada yada the Walking Dead World Beyond storyline this week with, well, they had to get through the blaze of gory and they got through the blaze of gory. The yada yada version of this is Strand and Alicia have to problem solve the garage door zombies. They problem solve the garage door zombies.
Yeah, they're up on their Temple Grandin.
They are. I got to say, I don't know. I'm kind of enjoying Fear of the Walking Dead.
It's good again. Like it's
all right. It's all right.
It's got high highs and low lows.
Some good action. The Sanjay stuff was a ride. Truly the rise and fall of Sanjay was an arc. There was a character arc in this episode.
Yeah, things happened. They started with some things that they needed to answer, and then they answered the things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what more can you ask for? And I am famously not even a fear guy. Like fear was one. You know how people like just listen to the podcast. I was just listening to the podcast at some point. So I'm like Daniel in this episode. I don't remember who anyone is. Every time someone comes up, I'm like, who? And Daniel's like, who? I was like, yeah, thank you, Daniel. I get you. Who is this girl and this other girl? Like, where do y'all come from? So this was a good episode for me because it was, like you said, there was action. There was a story. I didn't have to know everyone because no one knew everyone. Daniel definitely didn't. So, it worked for me for sure. I was happy to see him back. I know him. But there was a couple other people squinting a little bit. Like, what do you do here? And so, it was a good episode for me. But it was all about the garage door.
It's all about that door.
Yeah. So speaking of what do you do here? Return of Charlie.
Return of Charlie. Oh, yeah. Yes. So Charlie is the kid who killed Nick and is still on the show. And I point to Charlie as like exhibit A of like, they're not going to kill the kids on The Walking Dead World Beyond. Like, they're just not going to do it because they would have killed Charlie by now. And they haven't done that yet. And I am shocked that they're so committed to the Charlie bit. They're almost as committed to the Charlie bit as Salazar is committed to the amnesia bit.
He did a good job.
I was impressed, to be honest.
Wait, Charlie is the ponytail, right?
Yep.
There's another kid.
By the ponytail.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, that's ponytail.
When she walked up, I was just like, I think I saw you. I know you. And I was like, oh, yeah, she killed Nick. Why are you here?
Killed Nick.
Yeah, why?
She killed Nick. Why are you here? Alicia like read her for filth and then like got that out of her system and now they're friends again. Like,
it was kind of
brother, but we're cool now.
It was kind of the microcosm of Negan killing Glenn and Abraham and then somehow in the end of the last season teaming up with Daryl to kick zombie ass.
Like, people are like getting cool with Negan. On this show, they got cool with Charlie.
It took him 10 years. It took Charlie like 10 minutes. It took Negan 10 years.
Yeah.
Well, this guy. Negan killed Glenn.
Yeah.
Charlie killed Nick. Come on.
Even Alicia's like, honestly.
It kind of sucks.
He was kind of a load.
It's a lot.
If I'm being honest.
Yeah.
So I guess like the episode is basically like, how does Strand get his groove back, right? Like, so if Morgan is transforming into something, if he's Morgan number 5 and Morgan number 5 is some amalgamation of the Morgans he's been previous, where now he can kill again, but he's like a righteous warrior. Strand is being like a shady dude again, where he's like, Sanjay, come here. You got to help me out.
Sanjay. That was the best.
Where he's like, Sanjay, you got to be a hero now. We got to step up. To, you know, we got to put the pedal to the metal. Sanjay's like, I'd really love to just stay in the RV. That's okay.
Sanjay wanted no parts at all.
Sanjay's sacrifice helped us all get through this episode.
And Strand's like, I know that you look real comfy in that corner there, man, but I need you. So come on out. And so Sanjay's like, all right, well, what do you need me to do? And Strand's like, it's actually pretty simple. I need you to die, Sanjay! he does like the Shane thing where Shane like stabbed Otis back in the day, right? And left Otis to get killed. And so he does that to Sanjay. And I forget exactly what he says to Sanjay, but he basically dresses him down on his way out the door. Like, he's just like, sorry, Sanjay, you should have been cool before. Now you got what's coming, Sanjay. And Sanjay's like, no! And that's like, what a terrible way to go, poor Sanjay.
It was time.
And so Strand,
yeah, I was fine with it.
And so Strand is like, so he's like now a dick again, I guess. Like, but it's like, it's he's doing this because this is what it's going to take to survive. And so he's doing this because he cares about Alicia and he doesn't want her to be involved. And so he's like, I'm having you reassigned. I can't have you near me because you're too good and I got to be a bad person. And I don't want you to be involved in
this. This is the hilarious thing, Josh. At the end of the last episode of Fear, we said, we don't think this complete character transformation really suits Morgan because we've seen it too many times. It doesn't land. Now, if Strand underwent a complete character transformation, that would be a different thing. And we'd like to see it. And so I guess we got it. We got basically the exact same thing. It's like Strand goes through a thing and then takes up a new mantle and he's going to have a new outfit. Like his season 6 outfit is going to be different from his season 5 outfit and the action figure is all new. And now he's going to be like a warden or whatever they were calling him.
Yeah.
Ranger.
He gets to wear a key on his chest. That's really cool.
Yeah.
I thought the more compelling thing about the episode was that they did the whole garage door thing because they thought there was a weapon that Virginia was going to use against an unknown person who I assume was Morgan. Right.
There's this weapon.
Right. But it's like, oh no, Strand is the weapon?
The real weapon was the friends we made along the way.
Oh my gosh. When she said that, I was like, you know what? I closed the laptop. Like, you know what? It's time. That's my time for today. So the weapon is the army.
Yeah.
That Strand is going to lead because she needed to find a good leader for this ragtag group of misfits to take on Morgan?
I think so. It feels that way.
It's a guy with a stick.
Yeah.
It's a Morgan.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's the we need an army because they've got a Morgan. You know, we've got an army. I've got a Hulk. Even though that's Silas. So, yeah, I guess that's what they're going for. And I got to ask, because that's the Strand deal. What is Daniel Salazar doing? He's just cutting hair. He's pretending like he doesn't remember anything.
He forgot how to speak Spanish.
How does anyone around Salazar, I'm talking like Virginia and stuff, like how do any of these people buy any of this? You know, I get often accused of being too committed to a bit, but Salazar is like deep in the joke. This is like the Andy Kaufman of the Walking Dead universe.
Yeah. He's singing Paparazzi every single night for months.
I was convinced. I started to believe it. I said, oh yeah, he doesn't remember you. Why? I don't remember you. So I was right there with him.
You're going full Terry Bauer with Daniel Salazar, right? Really? But it turns out it's like, nah, Morgan, I know you.
Yeah, it's Morgan. And then, so I didn't know if there was a transition in the middle where he kind of started remembering when they started, you know, doing like the mnemonic devices and trying to get him to get things to click. But once he saw Morgan, it was just like, oh no, this is why I'm doing this.
That's my guy. I like
that. I mean, I totally get why he's going to pretend to not know Strand.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
Like, hey, you shot me in the face. Like,
remember
F you,
that time
man.
When you literally shot me in my face and you think I'm going to talk to you?
In Strand's defense, he did say, you know, that something's wrong with that guy because I've never seen him flinch before. I Dick Cheney'd him and he didn't even move.
I shot him in the face. Right? I shot that guy in the face and he lived. And now, like, he's twitching.
He apologized to me. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, if somebody shot me in the face, I'd pretend I didn't know them either.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know.
Sorry. I don't know you. Yeah. After that, I don't know you at all.
Yeah, I don't know her.
Maybe, like, Salazar's like, they buy it. Oh my God, they buy it. I rolled the dice. I didn't think that anyone was going to buy the old Salazar's got amnesia tactic, but they're all buying it. I cannot break character for Strand, but there's Morgan. That's my guy. That's who I've been waiting for. He's on the outside. I'm his inside man, but we got to keep this airtight. No one else can know. So Salazar is deep. He's embedded.
Not to spoil another show you're watching, but there's another television show, a comedy, that tried something similar to this, where one of the characters just completely forgot who they were, allegedly. And then it came out later on that they were lying, but the show really didn't address it too much. So have fun building a community around that.
Okay,
little
all right. I'm in a little plug for community building, a podcast. About a theoretical community podcast that we're doing over on the Post Show Recaps Patreon, which you can subscribe to at patreon.com.
It's exciting.
Post Show Recaps.
It's weird. There's an amnesia storyline in season two of The Umbrella Academy, which is Josh's favorite show. Josh has put his headphones off. He's
that is very much
off and left the room.
It's okay, Jess. I'll talk about it with you. There is,
I'm not to the end of it, but I am kind of the mind that the character is faking it. So I will be interested. It's weird. Like, amnesia just keeps coming to me and forcing me to not forget it.
Salazar, he's like, listen, these idiots are letting me cut their hair. They're giving me scissors, guys. I got scissors. I got razor blades. Like, I got the sharp stuff. And these idiots, after 2 weeks, believe that I have forgotten everything. That I have forgotten literally everything that has ever happened to me before. I don't even know who Ophelia is. Like, they buy it. They're in. Hook, line, and sinker. So I can get them. You know, I could use the scissors. I could do the quick stab. I could use the razor and go, I could do it. But why don't we think about timing? Let's think about, like, let's get a plan in place, because I'm in and I'm not flinching. I mean, I'm flinching, but it's part of the act. Like, they're not going to get me. I'm hooked in. Can't waste this on Strand. Definitely on Morgan. Morgan's my guy.
Yeah, definitely don't waste it on Charlie either.
So it's like, all right. So I'm your guy, because when you, like, set the signal fire, I'm going to trust Morgan that, like, now it's go time. And that's when I go, stoop, you know, so that's what we're waiting for. It's Chekhov's barber is what's happening right now.
And it's not suspicious at all that he told the one guy, oh, I forgot my good scissors. You need to go back and get them. And the guy's going to come back. He's be like, I didn't find your scissors. He's like, oh, wait, no, these are my good scissors. Amnesia. Sorry.
Sorry. I forgot.
My bad. I forgot.
I got to be honest. I forgot. Some more feedback from Andrew Yu, who says, man, these Rangers sure are nonchalant around walkers. Those two dummies with the guns, they weren't even paying attention to 100 zombies, not less than 5 feet away. That is correct. Andrew also says, damn, Strand did Sanjay dirty. Also correct.
It was time. Sanjay had been, he had been tiptoeing around everything. Yeah. And I mean, when was he ever useful? He was always like,
love him.
Oh, I see this thing y'all are about to do. I'm just going to stand over here and, you know, just handle that and then come back and tell me how it goes. And so, yeah, I think that's the least sad I've been for, like, an innocent character in the Walking Dead universe ever.
Totally. With that said, though, Chappelle, like, a big Sanjay energy over here in the zombie apocalypse.
It was relatable.
We're out to garage. No, I literally cannot do that. End it back.
He's like, help them. Like,
no, I can't.
I cannot.
Sanjay, come out of the RV. You're going to have to drag me out, Strand.
Right. Yeah.
I've got the comfy seat. I've got the window here. Like, no.
Him and Dakota are just in there chilling. Yeah, no. I just think there could have been a better way. We didn't have to sacrifice Sanjay, but I wasn't mad that it happened. I'm not going to lie. Yeah.
Andrew also asked, why did they let so many zombies out of the door at once to begin with? How about like batches of manageable amounts?
Well, I think once the door is up, you can't get the door back down.
Maybe.
Well, they yelled, Sanjay, pull the door down, and he was gone.
Oh, there's that too. Maybe they were gonna.
He booked.
Yeah, they're gonna do like a few at a time, but they didn't have a doorman.
They literally said it. They pan over to the door, like where the chain is, and Sanjay's gone. And that was the moment I said, "Yeah, he's gotta go."
Yeah. Well, Sanjay was an idiot because he goes back into the RV. He doesn't run away. He doesn't try to hide. He's just like, "No, I'm done. I'm taking a break."
He had the safest job and ran and left everyone for dead and didn't even run all the way away. He just ran to the RV.
It was like, there's a comfy seat. I'm going to go sit in the comfy seat.
I'm going to the comfy spot.
Josh, it was time. It's okay.
You know what else? You know what else made me laugh really hard in this episode is so that moment where Virginia calls Strand and Alicia have to go to the principal's office, right? And Virginia's there getting her hair cut. And like, it doesn't look like anything has happened with her hair whatsoever. So like, none of that made any sense to me whatsoever. But she's like, all right, here's your punishment. You got to go do some fighting for me. And so she has in her principal's desk drawer, Alicia's like ridiculous weapon that she has had since at least season four, which is, I still don't even know what that is.
It's like the end of a gun?
It's
a
like pipe? It's like the end of like a tank gun? Or I don't know what it is, but it is like this weird graded metal thing with a slightly sharp edge that Alicia has had for way too long. They're like, no, this is her action figure accessory. This is Alicia's iconic weapon. Like, if we are power ranking the iconic weapons of The Walking Dead, that one it's is up very there. Close to the bottom. Oh, God, yeah. It's a terrible weapon. And in fact, the fact that Virginia just had it in her drawer, she's like, here, you're going to need this piece of shit.
it's like down below Maggie Green's road sign.
Yeah, the road sign is much better.
Well, at least it's iconic. You know, we can't see Alicia without it. I mean, she looked weird without it. When she gave it back to her, it was like an extension of her arm almost. Okay. You know, it's like it's meant to be. So, you know, in the action figure, I'm not mad if I get Alicia with that. Now, if you give Alicia something practical, I'm probably looking at you weird. Like, this is, doesn't fit. It just doesn't. It's not her. It's not her. Yeah. You would think by now they would have located like a mall. I think probably every mall in America has like a random like weapons shop that has those like those really sharp objects that are completely useless, but people collect them.
Maybe in middle America they do.
They're in the bad guy.
That's where I live
right now. Also, elites do not have any such thing.
They're in a commune surrounded by bad guys with all of their bad guy weapons. They've got assault rifles and knives and stuff. Like, why do they need to give? Here, Alicia, here's your piece of shit from the road.
Well, it's because it is a piece of shit. Like, if her weapon was a crossbow or something you could kill humans with, they wouldn't give it back to her. Yeah. She can't have a real weapon, but she can have her, like, Nerf gun that she can use to take out some zombies.
So odd. So odd to me. I just have not been able to get over, like, I can't believe that, like, Alicia's, like, strange road scrap has, like, survived through two seasons. Like, forget Walking Dead World Beyond. Fear the Walking Dead really doesn't want to kill anybody. Like, they Fear the Walking Dead had a really hard time letting go of Jimbo the Brewer. And, like, they haven't killed anyone really important in a very long time. They're very committed.
I mean, who do they think they are? Walking Dead regular?
You know, they cannot get rid of Alicia's piece of scrap. Like, that has to stick around for the long haul. That's here forever because
very efficient. Yeah. It'd be different if she wasn't efficient with it, but she does what needs to be done every time. You give it to her and she's fine. It's like Michonne and her sword. It's the same. The same energy.
I guess.
It's a single use appliance. She can't use it for anything else.
Right.
It's so odd. It has one sharp part and the rest of it is a cylinder.
Yeah, yeah, Alton Brown would hate this thing.
It is useless. It looks unwieldy. Like, it's hard to, like, grip, probably. I don't know. I don't get it. Someone weigh in. What do you think?
The heart wants what it wants, Josh.
What is it? What do we want to name it?
Like, I mean, Morgan's literally using a stick.
Yeah, but he's trained in the arts of Aikido, Chappelle.
You know? I mean, but a stick.
He's Donatello. You know?
Fair.
It's a stick. It's just a stick.
It doesn't even have a face on it.
It doesn't even have a face on it, Josh. It's just a stick. I don't. Yeah. Yeah,
but it's pointy. Got like a cool handle and yeah. carvings.
Hit him with the pointy end, I guess. More yeah. look.
Yeah. All right. So that's Fear of the Walking Dead this week, and then one last little bit of feedback that came in while we were recording from Podrick Racer, because I feel like for posterity we got to say this. Podrick Racer says, "I like The World Beyond. It's the first Walking Dead content that I've been able to get my 13-year-old daughter interested in. It feels a bit more Wrinkle in Time than Stand By Me, but either way, I'm up for some kids saving their parents' adventures." So there you go. There are people out there. I'm enjoying watching World Beyond. I'm having fun watching these shows.
It is entertaining as hell to watch it and podcast about it.
I'm having a good time. I hope that that's translating. Like, even if we're picking at nits, this is a more
that's
of a
nit. What I like doing. I you enjoy know? Picking the nits. And I like it. Gave me a lot of nits.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Chappelle, you having fun?
I am. I'm a Big Brother fan. Okay. So
yeah. Sorry, man.
The bar is in hell. Okay. Oh, so I can God. Be entertained by anything. And this is God. Great. This is great. I don't understand it. I'm confused about all the decisions that are being made. I'm not quite sure how Hope learned how to take a siren apart and put it back together and get it to work. But you know, she did.
She had to do. Yeah.
She can make alcohol. She put together a siren.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. She's the kid with the leather jacket, you know, the one with the troubled past. Like, that's the person we root for in every show.
She's Tori from the second wave of Saved by the Bell.
Exactly.
She's Sean from Boy Meets World. Like, yeah. She's that kid. So, you know, she has skills. She can hooch. She can siren. So, you know.
Watch me hooch. Watch me siren.
I like watching them grow. Yeah. Just little sweet little darlings.
You just want to squish their heads, don't you, Josh?
These little angels here on The Walking Dead World Beyond. So we'll be back next week talking more Fear, more World Beyond. See what Big Mo is getting into next
Big
week.
Big Mo.
Gotta see Big Mo. See if Big Mo is going to show up. Plenty of other things happening on post show recaps. Again, Chappelle was here talking everything is super with the crazy stuff, with the survivor simulation. Jess, I know you and Mike Bloom, you guys are deep into disco fever.
We got the disco fever. Season 3 of Star Trek Discovery, off to a great start. We're having fun. Check us out.
And keep an ear out for so the Lovecraft Country podcast is wrapping up this week. The finale just aired. And then The Mandalorian is just around the corner. And Kevin and LaTanya and I are going to be talking about Baby Yoda. So if that sounds like a fun time for you, that podcast, our preview podcast for season 2, it's coming your way Monday, next Monday. So it's October something. I don't know off the top of my head.
Me neither. You know, I do have a tiny backstory with The Mandalorian. At my last job, I was talking to people. I guess it had just been released or something. I don't really follow the Star Treks and worlds and whatnots. Yeah. And I thought that The Mandalorian was a musical instrument. And my coworkers have not stopped reminding me about that moment because I was confused. I thought this was like the violinist or the pianist.
Yeah,
I was like, it's The Mandalorian.
It's somebody who plays a mandolin. Yeah,
exactly. And so, woo. Yeah.
Sorry, yep. Adrian Brody as The Mandalorian. Yeah,
that's where my mind went. And only to find out that it was Star Wars. So yeah, this is let you know my backstory right. with the whole franchise.
Sounds like we're gonna have to get Chappelle on a Mandalorian podcast.
Not do that.
All right, you could be the musical guest.
I could do that.
plenty going on in the poster recap space, both on the main feed as well as on the patron feed. I just watched The Boys. I just talked about The Boys over at Watching with Wiggler this week. We've got Beetlejuice coming up on post show recaps theater and another episode of Community Building coming just a few days from now. So plenty of stuff going on. Stuff and things, if you can believe it. We'll be back next week with more Fear of the Walking Dead World Beyond. Until then, everybody take care. Bye, Big Mo.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.